possess some admirable qualities. Now, what you have to understand is, he didn't say Negro, because he wrote this in Arabic. And these white professors have translated what Ibn Battuta wrote in Arabic into English. And so they say Negro, but whereas Battuta, when he wrote it, he didn't say Negro, because he didn't call black people Negroes in those days. See, you have to know all this in order to really read between the lines. The Negro, meaning us, this is before America was discovered, possess some admirable qualities. They are seldom unjust, have a greater abhorrence of injustice than any other people. Pick up on it. Here this man, before America is discovered, is talking about black people are different from white people. Isn't that what he said? He said black people are against injustice. Black people are more so against injustice than any other people are against injustice. Why, this follows. You know the white man is not against injustice. He wouldn't have this country if he was. And he wouldn't have you here if he was. You wouldn't be as dumb as you are if the white man was against injustice. Don't be angry when I say you wouldn't be as dumb as you are. Because when I say, I mean we, all of us, we're all in the same boat. If we're dumb, don't say we're dumb. How are we going to be in this boat if we weren't dumb? You can't put a wise man in this kind of shape, and we're in bad shape. You don't get in this kind of shape being wise. You get in this kind of shape being dumb. Right or wrong? Let's see. So he says here, their sultan, meaning their ruler, shows no mercy to anyone who is guilty of the least act of injustice. Without, you see, our civilization then was so right. It was right. Didn't have nothing but justice. No crime, no stealing, no fairies running around like you got throughout the Negro community today. There is complete security in their country. Talking about the civilization where you and I live. Complete security, no robbers, no murderers. Brother, this actually is describing heaven. This is what the man is doing. He is describing a civilization that has such high morals, but the high sense of morality that it's almost like being in heaven. Neither traveler nor inhabitant in their country has anything to fear from robbers or men of violence. They are careful to observe the hours of prayer. On Fridays, if a man does not go early to the mosque, he cannot find a corner to pray in on account of the crowd. So many people go to the mosque to pray on Friday. The man says that if you don't get there ahead of time, you can't get in. Because these people, by nature, are religious. These people, by nature, turn to Allah to give praise and to give thanks. Brother, this is being written 200 years before the white man knew that the earth was round. Another of their good qualities is their habit of wearing clean white garments on Friday. Now you see why the slaves used to sing that song about they're going to die and put on a long white robe? Because see, you and I found ourselves so far from home, we didn't find no hope of getting back. We thought we were going to have to die and grab some wings and get back over there. And our concept of heaven was what? Long white robe. Why? Because we came from heaven. Heaven was home. Heaven was our home. Heaven was our homeland. Was our homeland. Now the Beulah's land is up yonder. Beulah's land is over yonder. You're Beulah. Another of their good qualities is their habit of wearing white garments on Friday.
You have to be green to wear white. You got to stay green to wear white. You just can't. That's why they don't wear no white people out. They're not white conscious. Because they don't stay clean enough. And they have a so-called Negro right now can't wear white. You wear them a red shirt, blue shirt, green shirt, every kind of shirt, but a white shirt. So you take a bath once a week. In order to wear a white shirt, you got to take a bath in order to put it on, right or wrong. Right. Even if a man has nothing but an old shirt, he washes it and cleans it and wears it to the Friday service. This is not being written last year. This is being written by a scientist who explored your and my country 200 years before the white man knew that America was here. And he is describing it. And it was the best perfection that has been handed down, and you think he was talking about the followers of Mr. Muhammad today. And he says, yet another of their qualities is their zeal for learning the Quran by heart. What was their religion? It must have been Islam. They learned the Quran by heart. And now, brothers and sisters, despite this description of your and myself, the level that we were on culturally, spiritually, intellectually, academically, politically, socially, and otherwise, 200 years before the discovery of America, oh, look at us now. What happened to us? How could it be possible for someone to function and live and exist at such a high level then and come down to such a low level today? How could it be possible for you and me to be at such a high cultural level that the scientists of that day wrote books about and marveled at, and many relics of our civilization served as the wonders of the ancient world? And today, everybody is looking at us in wonder, wondering how we could come from so high to so low in such a short period of time. So I take time to mention that to show you why he wouldn't go into this book. Both of these books are tough books, and it's called the UNESCO Courier, and sometimes you can write to the UN and ask them how can you subscribe to it, because there is much in these that you won't find in any other book. This is an international publication, which means it's beyond the control of the American white man. And the only time the black man in America is going to have access to some truth, it has to be truth that the white man in America has no control over. This is why it's possible to come to the mosque and get undiluted truth, naked truth. Because the truth that you and I have comes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he's out of the control of the white man. White man doesn't control what Mr. Muhammad says. White man doesn't control what Mr. Muhammad does. The white man doesn't control Mr. Muhammad's program, Mr. Muhammad's teaching. And the white man can't control Mr. Muhammad's followers. All praises to God. And he worries about that which he can't control. You would too. If you got some children at home and you can't control them, you worry about it. Because you don't know what they're going to do next. White man is the same way. When you see him acting cool and calm next to a Negro, he knows everything under control. But when you see him start screaming at the top of his lungs about some Negroes, he is telling you there's something about those Negroes I can't handle anymore. And what he can't handle is he can't handle those who have been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He know when we smile, it don't go no farther than our lips. Just like when he smiled at us, his smile doesn't go any farther than the lips. And we have learned the same thing. We have smiled at him, and it doesn't go any farther than the lips. Smile at him and shake his hand. Just like he's been smiling and shaking our hand. We smile and shake his hand today and shake his head tomorrow. Can't you speak for yourself? That's the white man's way of building a Negro up. Well, all you got to do to knock the Negro down, just haven't you got a mind of your own? And he'll run out and fight every other Negro just to prove he got a mind of his own. Oh, yeah. He'll argue, dispute with every Negro he sees just to prove he got a mind of his own. Don't care how true you are. He's gonna argue with you to show you, I got a mind of my own. No, don't ever get that kind of way. You haven't got no mind of your own. You have never had a mind of your own. If you had a mind of your own, you wouldn't be a Negro. If you had a mind of your own, you wouldn't be here. I mean here in America. You wouldn't be catching the hell that you're catching if you had a mind of your own. You wouldn't be wearing the white man's meat if you had a mind of your own. Why, you'd know your own language if you had a mind of your own. And not only do you not know your own language, you didn't even know you ever had an own language. Right or wrong? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a normal, natural human being, the same as you and I. He was born of a woman, the same as you and I. He had a father and a mother, the same as you and I. And because he did, that makes him qualified to be a leader and a teacher of you and me. Somebody couldn't lead us who wasn't one of us. He wouldn't understand our problems. He wouldn't know what our shortcomings were. He wouldn't even know how to speak our language. But whenever God chooses someone, God always chooses a man from the midst of the people whose intention he intends to say. So devil language is something that the best way to speak it is don't worry about it. When you start worrying about this white man's language, brother, you're going to be in bad shape. God always finds the people he intends to save and then chooses someone from their midst and fixes him, prepares him, teaches him, qualifies him. And after filling the head of that one with supreme wisdom, divine wisdom, then he uses that one to reach and teach all of the others. An example, like all of the electricity that's in the atmosphere, or the electricity that comes from the powerhouse. Yet the electricity doesn't come from the powerhouse right into the light. It has to go through a what? A transformer. No, it goes through a transformer. If you put all that power in that line, it would burn the lines up. But it shot into the transformer, and the transformer breaks it down and fixes it or prepares it to go into the what? And God is the same way. God is a powerhouse, a powerful source of light, heat, energy, and wisdom. And instead of coming and appearing right in front of the people and showering them with his spiritual light, it would kill them, it would burn them up. So God always appears and takes the man and transforms him and uses him as a transformer who will break down his great powerful energy and let him shoot it into the people. In the days of Noah was a transformer for God. In the days of Lot was a transformer for God. In the days of Moses was a transformer for God. Today, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is God's transformer. Do you understand? It is he who transforms the truth, divine truth, and makes it so plain that we fools can understand. We couldn't take it from God. Oh, don't say you could, because you couldn't. We couldn't take it from God. And God knows we couldn't take it from him. In the days of Noah, they couldn't hardly take it from Noah. How they gonna take it from God? And in the days of Lot, they couldn't hardly take it from Lot. How they gonna take it from God? And in the days of Moses, they couldn't hardly take it from Moses. How they gonna take it from God? And right now, you and I can hardly take it from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. How you gonna take it from God? So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a normal. You and me in that God has transformed him. God has chosen him from our midst, fixed him up, cleaned him up, and prepared him, qualified him as an agent for God or a representative for God, or a messenger for God. And today, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad acts in that capacity in the midst of the American so-called Negro. He's a normal man. Never begin to think in spooky terms about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's a flesh and blood man, born of a woman and had a father and a mother. No miraculous birth, no Holy Ghost, nothing like that. No spirit jumped on him and told him, go and teach your people. Nothing spooky or mysterious is in any way connected with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Everything connected with him can be understood in terms of reality. This is what makes it so beautiful. He was born in Georgia. That's real, brother. When you're born in Georgia, you know you were born. Born in the cotton fields of Georgia. Has a wife. Married man. Is a husband. Is a father of six sons and two daughters, a family man who only went to the fifth grade in school. Some people say, well, I thought he went to the third grade. I used to say that he went to the third grade because I thought that's all the father he went. But one day I was in a conversation with him and he told me, and I mentioned about the third grade, he said he went to the fifth grade. I said, but when you go to school in Georgia, the fifth grade is the same as the third grade. In fact, the 12th grade is the same as the first grade. Now, I'm not knocking Georgia education, but I had a couple of aunts who were old maids, and both of them were teachers in Georgia. And if they were teachers in Georgia, I say that whoever they taught was in bad shape, because they were in bad shape. So he went to the fifth grade in Georgia to school, and his father was a preacher, same as most of y'all got fathers preachers. Practically every old Negro in this country, his father was a preacher. Right or wrong, didn't know how to do nothing else but preach. My father was a preacher, and I know he didn't know what he was preaching. And if your father is one, he doesn't know what he's preaching. I had to put mine in there first so I could get at yours. Otherwise, you'd have thought I was putting you somewhere. But I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that when he was a child, he always read the Bible. There was something about the Bible that attracted his attention. He always used to read it. And as he would read through it, tears would come down his face. He knew that there was something in it that needed to be understood. He said even in his dumb state, before he was awakened and enlightened with divine understanding, when he would read that book, he couldn't read it without tears coming down his cheek. He didn't understand, but he said he knew he didn't understand. Whereas most Negroes read it and don't understand it and don't know that they don't understand. But his lack of understanding of the book tore at his heart and brought tears down his cheek. And before his mother died, I used to spend many hours in long conversations with her. She used to tell about when her children were young, how different the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was. She named him Elijah, and she said that he was different. He was different than all of her other sons. She had 13 children, and he was the seventh child born to her. And he was that seventh child of hers. Was always different. And she did say that one day when she herself was only 7 years old, a little girl, she had a vision that she was going to have a son that would be different and would do a great work during his lifetime. And when she grew up and had 13 children, she didn't know that this was going to happen in her family. But yet she did know that there was something about her son Elijah that made him different from all her other sons and daughters. And even right today, when you look at the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he has, I think it is three brothers living right now, all of whom are Muslim. Worthless people. His mother Moses contending with God over some worthless people. People that weren't worth 2 cents. They were just about like you and me. Moses acted as a lawyer for his people in front of the judge. Moses told God, I know they're not worth saving, but they got your name. If you won't save them for their sake, save them for your name's sake. It has been rumored that you are with them. So everybody is saying that you're with these people. Everybody is saying that you have appeared in their midst. Now, if you lead them to wrath or to die, they'll say, here was the God who couldn't deliver his people. Deliver them for your name's sake. We know they're not worth 2 cents, but save your name. You've already put your name on them. You've already said they're yours. Now you're going to turn them loose? People will say you didn't have the power to finish what you come here for. That's Moses talking to God. You and I couldn't talk to God like that. But Moses could talk to God. Moses was tight with God. Moses and God were just like the same. God had chosen Moses as his spokesman and had put a heavy responsibility on him. And it was what you call an incumbent. What's a shorter word? He was obligated. I know you don't know nothing about no incumbent, do you? He was duty bound to back Moses up, to support Moses, right or wrong. So Moses told him, you don't want to save him because of their worth, save him for your name. But God was wise. Show you how wise he was. He knew Moses had him. But see, he was all wise. So he told Moses, you right. I'll save him for my name's sake. But not these. I'll make them wander in the wilderness. They'll still keep my name. But they have worked my patience to its end. I'll send them back into the wilderness and let them rot 40 years wandering. Then their little children, who still have my name, I'll take them and give them the promised land. That's something to think about, isn't it? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is just like Moses. He was born in Georgia. And you're born in Georgia, you're born in double bondage. Just as Moses loved his people so much that he would act in their defense despite their shortcomings, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad acts in defense of the so-called Negro despite our shortcomings. He forgives us our faults. Because he knows before God cleaned him up, he had faults. He knows he had weakness. He knows he had shortcomings. And because he had all these things himself, he understands us. And the book did, God told Moses that in the last day, when our people would be in this condition, and we in bad shape, he said, he told Moses, I will raise them up, one from the midst of them, just like you. He'll do for them as you have done for your people. And you and I cannot deny that our condition in America is the same as the condition that Moses found his people in the land of Egypt. We need a man like Moses. We need somebody who can do for us what Moses did for his people. And somebody who will have as much patience with us as Moses had for his people.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.